Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gosh Dang Podcast. This is episode 26, I think. We're almost there to 30. That's not really that big a milestone when you've been going for
it's
over a year.
It's a huge milestone, but, okay? You know, we're just going to ignore
the big 3-0.
The big 3-0. That's what it's all about.
That's actually going to be our combined age. I'll let you divvy it up. It could be...
Really?
I could be 10, you could be 20. I could be 16, you could be 14. That's probably the most likely of options. I could be 2, you could be... whatever number that would be, 28, probably.
Or we could just both be 15.
That's not very likely. I mean, that's the most mathematically even option, but that doesn't mean it's true. So I wouldn't trust that. However, the one thing I would trust is all of the amazing opinions and facts and news and amazing, beautiful things that we're going to talk about today on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been the worst transition ever, but I'll keep going.
It's all right.
So, yeah, trust all of our opinions is all I ask. We're going to talk about the iPhone announcement. We're finally going to make a bit of an It review because it's time, even though I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. I will see it on Monday, though.
Wait, you will? Wait, no, tell me about this real quick. I didn't know. You're
going to
see it on Monday?
I'm going to go see it on Monday.
What? How are you seeing it?
It's easy. So first, you go to a theater. Then you buy tickets. And then you sit in the theater and watch it.
But you're forgetting something. You're 15 years old.
I'm not. I'm not 15 years old. I'm 21 and you're 9. Yeah. So it's easy. I can get in.
Really? Yes. You are going to be illegal.
Not only am I allowed to go see a movie, I'm allowed to drink alcohol at my age, okay? Select countries. Anyways.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the iPhone X. We're going to talk about Star Wars. I don't think there's a way to not talk about Star Wars on this podcast. There's actually some pretty big news, so I'm excited to talk about that.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where we talk about Star Wars so much, and we say how bad it is how much we talk about Star Wars, that by saying how bad it is that we talk about Star Wars has gotten old in itself, so...
Yeah, we've talked too much about talking about Star Wars. Which means that we're talking about Star Wars about twice the amount that we were before, which I think is a good thing, so...
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think it's a good thing, then, well...
I'm always right.
Yeah, you're always right. No, actually, I think it's a good thing, too, so...
Yeah.
Yay! We agree!
Good. Okay, let's talk more about Star Wars. Starting with the news that... earlier this week or was it last week or something? They announced that They announced Colin Trevorrow is like no longer part of Episode 9, and something that they said was like they had different visions and so they decided to part, which sounded quite similar to the Lord and Miller thing from the Han Solo film where they're just like we just went our separate ways. It wasn't like we really fired anybody. We just decided to not.
That.
Yeah, because they decided, you know what? We were making this movie we liked. We just decided, you know what? We don't want to make a Star Wars movie anymore. That wouldn't be good for our career. Anyways, I think that it makes sense to have fired him because, you know, you don't want to take chances, I guess, to some extent with Star Wars. Like, you want to get innovative directors that are really good. And I guess to some extent you have to take chances. But that doesn't mean if you think that this movie is going to turn out poorly or is if it's looking like it'll be horrible, then, you know, don't keep the project going. You should shut it down or get somebody else to do it. So I think that's a good choice. However, then they announced later. So we're getting J.J. Abrams.
Oh, yay.
To direct Episode 9.
I know how much you love J.J. Abrams, though, right? You're a huge fan. You love the Star Trek films. Big fan of Lost, even though he produced most of the episodes. And yeah, you like that a lot, right?
I hate J.J. Abrams.
You do? Well,
I hate him.
Sorry.
And that's not to say all of his movies are terrible. Like, I do think that The Force Awakens is... like a good movie, it's just not a great movie. His dialogue, I guess his writing is what bothers me, because it seems like his dialogue is sort of weak, and I don't think his jokes are funny. And his writing reminds me of Joss Whedon's writing, but like a little bit safer.
And everyone here knows how much you love Joss Whedon's writing, right? And the exact problem
you have.
It
just annoys me.
Yes.
Like, I don't think it's bad.
I've got red on my ledger.
It's really annoying. It's like got melodramatic, you know, sort of ridiculous. Trying to be sarcastic, sort of. I don't know. It bugs me for some reason. And it's just like that with Firefly. Even though I love Firefly, it's like that with the Avengers
movies.
Is it
because it's like passive humor and you don't like that?
No, it's just, it's everywhere and it gets really annoying. And it's like all of his characters are the same because they all have to talk that exact way, you know? I don't know. I just don't like it. And J.J. Abrams doesn't exactly do that, but for some reason, just the way that he writes is like a safe version of Joss Whedon, is sort of how I think of him. And maybe that's probably totally incorrect. And, like, somebody could probably categorically prove that to be false to me somehow if they cared. But, I mean, it's undeniable that the choice of J.J. Abrams as director of Episode 9 is really safe. And that's sort of lame. I think they should take chances, but they should be careful, like, still. I don't think it makes sense.
That's a hard balance.
It is, but everything really needs to be a balance. I you know, Doctrine of the Main or whatever.
Even in the Force, yeah. There has to be balance.
There has to be balance to the Force. You have to have a balance between something that won't ruin Star Wars and something that will like take it into a, you know, take it in a different direction, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think like you need to let it move on a little bit, and you need to let it change a little bit, but you can't ruin it while you're doing that. So you need to get rid of people like Phil Lord and Chris Miller or whatever, because they like really meta things, and meta doesn't work for Star Wars, and it's not like that's a new direction for Star Wars to go. Maybe something like having gray aspects to the Force and not just having everything black and white, that might be a good idea, a good direction to take it in, that's, you know, unique and advancing the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Something like mm-hmm. that instead of making
and it we've out. Already talked about we've that talked kind about of thing that. In like a previous episode.
It's weird, but it sort of makes sense, and I don't know, I think that going with J.J. Abrams is too safe, even though he's good. Like, he's an undeniably yeah, good like director, but I think his movies
every. Yeah, every Star Wars movie from the original trilogy had its own, like, distinct, like, way about it. Like, each one was different from each other.
They each had their own
and
director.
So I feel like if J.J. Abrams is going to direct the third one, is it going to be just, like, another kind of weakish plot nostalgia piece? I mean, because that's the safe thing to do.
I've seen so many jokes about on Twitter about this, where, like, they're talking about how it'll just be a rehash of Episode 6 and stuff like that. And it might... Yeah, I could see it going that way, where, like, at the end, I could... very easily see this happening, and people have already been speculating about this since The Force Awakens, where it's like at the end, you know, Adam Driver is just like, you know, becomes light side and it's all improved, and then he kills Snoke and throws him off the side of a thing, and it's and then there's going to be another Death Star. I mean how many super weapons do we need? And anyways, I think that there's a good chance of that happening, and I really hope it doesn't, but yeah, I mean, you were talking about how, like, each one had their own director or whatever, and, yeah, like, they've almost gotten really bad directors, even in those beginning trilogies. Like, they had in Episode 6, they ended up going with Richard Marquand, who's, like, sort of boring, I guess, but, and he was actually sort of a jerk on set, from what I've heard, but they almost got David Lynch, and he makes movies really weird and creepy for some reason, and that would have been horrible for Star Wars. So, I feel like the third movie just has to have problems with directors, and then, yeah. Then just die. So
hey, maybe they'll change it again. I mean, I don't know when Episode 9 starts, like, shooting, but maybe they'll end up changing the director again.
Yeah, they might. That might be good, just because people are bored of it.
Yeah.
I mean, so I follow Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter, because of course I do.
Of course you
and
do.
And he had, like, he had a poll of, like, people, like, are they happy with J.J. Abrams directing Episode 9? And, like, 34% said yes. 5% said good grief, no. 46 said safe but dull choice, and that won. And then 15% said more like J.J. Lambrums. But I think when you count that up, it's like three of those options are, I'm not really happy with it. And then only 34% of people thought that it was a good idea. And it had like 5,000 votes on it. So I don't know. I think most people aren't really that excited about it. But they also at the same time announced that Episode 9 is getting pushed back, so it was originally going to be in May, and now it's in December, so it's December.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's a shocker.
December 20th, 2019. That's a good thing for me, because I like waiting out in the cold for the Star Wars movies. That seems like a tradition now.
Of course you do.
Because I did that for the last two, and we're going to do it for this next one.
Yay. Oh, wait. So I'm actually flying out to see Bob so we can watch The Last Jedi together,
we'll,
so that's cool.
We'll go see The Last Jedi together opening night, and it'll be great.
It'll be great.
It will be. But we won't get to do that with Han Solo, because that's in May. But they're pushing back Episode 9. I think that's a good decision. Give it more time before you fire J.J. Abrams and get someone else. give it time to think about it. Maybe he could make a good movie. It just won't be great.
isn't he producing The Last Jedi? Like, I know it's...
He has some involvement with it, yeah. So, like...
I knew like, it was something like that, where he's a producer.
That's the thing. That's actually part of the reason I don't like him, is because I feel like he's a bit of a micromanager in the same way that... James Cameron is, or whatever. I feel like he doesn't just direct, but he also has to write and produce it and be, like, you know, in charge of the entire thing, and it's all just him. And yeah, there are some really competent people that are working on these movies, and I don't think anybody needs J.J. Abrams to help them as much as he needs them, as much as they need him to direct them. So I don't know. I'm just grumpy. If you haven't noticed, let's move on. Let's move on from this.
Okay.
The iPhone X was just announced recently. That's exciting. Wow. You tell me more about that, because I didn't actually watch the live stream.
Okay. Well, I'm sure all the people who came just for Star Wars left. Was iPhone? What? So basically, there was the keynote on September 12th, and that was cool. But the thing is, they were kind of like waiting to reveal the big one, the just one more thing is how they put it. So basically, they revealed the Apple Watch Series 3, which now has LTE, and so you can stream things now, which is cool. And so it's more of like a standalone device, and it's less dependent on the phone.
Oh, so like you don't need a phone, or like you don't have to be close to it or something?
Yeah, you don't even have to bring it with you when you go places to communicate, to do things. So
that's cool.
It's really cool. And then they released the Apple TV 4K, which, you know, it's crazy. And apparently for people who buy it, Apple will automatically turn all the HD movies you purchased on iTunes into 4K, which is cool.
What?
Like, yeah, I know. That's Apple's really cool. Uh-huh. It part of me, like, it makes me want to get one just so that all of my iTunes movies can turn into 4K. So
yeah, I mean, I don't really buy anything from iTunes, but that would be cool.
Uh-huh. And then finally they released the iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus, and so that was cool. And then I knew something was off because it was a bit anticlimactic.
It looks exactly the same. They just added a color. The cameras are slightly better. They both have optical stabilization or whatever.
Yeah, and then they have glass on the back.
Oh, they do?
Which, yeah, and so it's like a different design, like material, I guess. And so I don't know how that's going to work because I know when they did, I think it was the iPhone 4, they had glass on the back and people didn't like it because the glass broke whenever they dropped it. So they had glass on the back and front, meaning the screen of their phone. Yeah. So it was like, oh, that's not going to work out. Something's going to end up breaking and looking ugly.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I don't know how that's going to work out. Now, not a lot of people seem to be talking about that, so maybe it's just one of those, you know, ignored things until it's, like, a problem, I guess.
Yeah.
And then finally, they're like, I think they talked about a couple more things, and then they're like, oh, before we go, we have just one more thing. And that's, like, everyone knew immediately what they were going to, like, they were going to release the whatever higher-tier iPhone, because that's what Steve Jobs... Those were like his exact words when they released the first iPhone. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Especially since this was like the opening of the Steve Jobs Theater in Cupertino, California, which is where their new like headquarters is, Apple's new headquarters. So yeah, it seems kind of like very sentimental in some ways and kind of like dedicated to Steve Jobs, which is cool. Yeah, so then the iPhone X, but it's actually called the iPhone X. They just use X. But you're supposed to call it the iPhone X.
Huh. Okay.
So, yeah. So, that's a thing, I guess. So, yeah, sure, it's going to be confusing. I keep on calling it the iPhone X. So, but I know it's 10.
But, and, like it's the 10 iPhone, but you announced the 8 and the 10 at the same time. So, it doesn't feel like you should call it the 10.
I know. It's funny. I'm like, well, all these companies, they really don't like the number 9. And by all these companies, I mean Microsoft and Apple, because Microsoft went from Windows 8 to Windows 10.
Yeah, but that was because of something like Windows 95 was like technically in the code or something like that called Windows 9 for some reason. So that's why they skipped over it. Yeah.
Okay then. I got my answer, but still.
Yeah, it is weird though. Like everybody just, skips that number. And I think the note skipped over 7, didn't it? It went from like note 6 to note 8.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
What?
It skipped a number. Geez. So.
Well, they don't, I mean, I guess these companies need to go back to kindergarten or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Nobody knows how to use numbers.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, actually, I was going to say at least Star Wars does, but no, Star Wars doesn't know how to do numbers either. They started with 4.
Oh, no, they do
not.
Then
5 and 6, and then 1, 2, 3, and then 7, and then like 3.5, and then, oh, that's terrible.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. But like the iPhone X, I guess, is like the full thing, like the full front of the phone is a screen, right?
Yeah, so that's, oh, yeah, and then there's, so basically there's no home button, so, and the whole front is a screen, there's just a little notch of, like, black that's on the top for the camera, and this little notch is basically the face scanner or sensor, and so basically that's how you get into your phone. You literally just pick it up, it scans your face, and they were doing demonstrations, and it's really fast, actually.
It is?
It's, like, it's about as fast as the fingerprint scanner.
Oh, really?
So, cool. Yeah, so it's, like, I'm pretty sure it's the same, which is really cool. And then you can do, they have, of course, all these certain perks and stuff with the face scanner, like things that you can do. Basically, there's animojis where you can like send animated emojis where it reads your face and you like talk and it animates the emoji to what your face is
saying.
That's
just so weird though.
Send a video. I know, it is really
looks
weird,
ugly and weird. Why would you want to do that?
I think it looks so fun.
You'll probably get one just for that.
I totally will. No, I'll probably, if I do end up getting the new one, I'll probably get an 8, only because I'll wait till they perfect
hashtag
the
full. Hashtag wait for
8. Yeah. Wait,
that's actually,
what?
Sorry, that's a Star Wars hashtag.
Oh, of course it is. Anyways.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll probably upgrade my phone when they announce the X2. I guess that's just the 11.
The 11. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
I'm sure they'll call it, like, XI.
Yeah.
To stick with them Roman numerals.
Hey, I can't wait to see what the iPhone 30 looks like. What if they'll eventually... Do you think phones will ever get to the point where they're, like, that pane of glass that Tony Stark has? That's what I want phones to be.
I think it'll get there. It'll just take some time, you know?
That's what I really want it to be.
But I think it'd be dumb to have a clear phone.
It'd be super, like, futuristic looking, though. You know?
But is it about looking futuristic? Yes. Or is it about...
That's the whole point of the iPhone 10, is that the whole front of it is a screen because it looks futuristic.
No, because it's a bigger screen.
Because it's a bigger screen and it looks futuristic.
You can get
futuristic.
More out of it. It's more practical.
Yes, and it's more practical to have a see-through phone because...
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Do you know why?
In what world is that practical?
It's practical because that way, if you set it down and somebody doesn't know it's there, they won't see it.
Case in point, you'll probably lose your phone a whole lot easier.
But it's cool.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I hope phones get there. Well. But, yeah, since you can't go home... Yeah, that's the problem with the iPhone, is that it can never go home again.
Yeah, basically, once you click on an app, you're stuck there.
Yeah. And then you have to get a new one.
That's just... Yeah, exactly. So
I have 60 iPhones, 60 new apps. Yeah. Actually,
no, you just slide it from the bottom.
So it basically gets rid of the control center.
The control center, you swipe down from the top.
But specifically, you swipe down from the top right. And then to get to the normal, like, home screen thing that happens, like the notification screen, you have to swipe down from the left.
I thought it was the other way around.
I'm pretty sure it is that way. I'm pretty sure the right is the control center and then the left is the notification thing. But I could be wrong. Either way, it's weird because it seems sort of unnatural. Because what you could do is just use the 3D touchscreen you have built into your iPhone so that in the lower part of it, when you press hard on it, it goes home.
You're a genius.
That's all you need to do. That's what everybody's been saying. I mean, like, this isn't like an original thought, but it makes so much more sense. I guess if there's something on the bottom of the screen that you need to use for 3D touch, then it sort of creates a problem, but not really. Like, if you have to just press...
But you could always just swipe away from that and then press it hard.
Yeah, like, there's no reason not to do that. And it just makes it more complicated because you're, like, trying to get to your... It's just weird.
Maybe what you do is you have it so that you double tap the Apple logo on the back, and then you enter in some code, and then you get to your home screen.
That sounds great.
That sounds a whole lot simpler.
Or you could just press a little bit harder, or you just press hard for, like, a little bit longer or something like that. Like, there's... And then to get to Siri on it, you don't just swipe up to get home. You swipe halfway up, and then it opens Siri.
Whoa.
Like, that doesn't seem to make much sense. They tried, like, an all-gesture phone, and it was called the Fire Phone. And it was Amazon's failed phone that nobody bought because it was too ridiculous to just use gestures. And now they've made the iPhone that way. I mean, it looks freaking cool. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it does.
And I sort of really kind of cool. maybe want one, but not really. Because it's so
next
weird.
Next year when they do the XI, they're going to basically take everyone's suggestions and then, like, put it in the keynote. It's like, we did something totally crazy. What we did was we made the
phone everybody wants.
3D touch. I don't know, like, our technicians,
we must
they just
be
had
geniuses.
This idea in the random. Like, I feel like that's what Apple does. They like, the way they present it is, like, we just came up with this amazing idea. We don't know how, even though it's been around for 3 years and other companies have used it for forever now. It's a big,
USB-C.
Huge deal in the world of technology. Whoa.
You're welcome. Made it so your battery lasts more than an hour.
Now you have room
to put an app on your phone with new storage options.
I was looking on Twitter during the keynote, and people were like, as they were presenting the 4K thing of the 4K Apple TV, like, people were tweeting, like, did Apple just say that they invented 4K? And I was laughing because it was like the way they had it sound is like that they.
The way they introduced those
that's
things.
That's what they do.
But I mean, they did add wireless charging to both of them, which sort of makes up for not having a headphone jack. If you can, use wireless charging, then it doesn't create that big of a deal.
But then, then it's kind of. It's kind of dumb, though, because the phone has to be laying down on the wireless charger in order to be charging.
I guess so.
You're not going to use your phone with headphones during that.
That's true. But, like, what if you just hold up the mat to your phone? Like, it's not that difficult.
That's, yeah, it still looks...
It still looks weird, I guess. But, like, everything wireless charges.
I'm waiting for the day when they have, like, you step into the room and your phone is charging.
That's the kind of wireless charging that the world needs. That's what I'm thinking we should do.
It's so true.
So how about...
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what the future is going to be. The future is you have a little piece of glass, and then you walk into a room, and then it's charging, and it automatically connects to the speakers. And you can, and it automatically connects to, like, HomeKit or whatever. So you can control your house and your charging of your phone. And then also, it automatically uncharges your phone when it gets to 100, so you don't waste power.
Yes, yes. We'll just invent that, and then we'll become rich.
We won't just be rich. We'll be geniuses.
Yes, and then we will finally be allowed to go to Apple's Genius Bar.
Finally.
I hear only the smartest people.
Yeah, only the geniuses are allowed to, you know, hang around that bar. It's ridiculous, because it's like, come on, anybody can drink, but no, you need to be a genius to drink here.
They have the best Shirley Temples there, and I've always wanted to try them.
I've really heard something good things about the Steve Jobs mocktail.
Uh-huh. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
It sounds really great. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm not smart enough.
Do they put an olive and an apple slice?
No, they don't do olives there. They just do apples.
Apples. Okay, well, that's cool.
Yeah. That's the future. Okay, so we just talked about the future a little bit.
Well, at the Windows bar, they have miniature windows that they stick in the side of the glass.
Oh my gosh, that's cool. That's amazing.
Uh-huh. I just thought I'd add that. It's important information.
That is important information.
Anyways.
Oh yeah, but
what's the next thing we're talking about?
Wait, I have one more thing to talk about the iPhone. They announced the 8 and the 10 at the same time, so who's going to really get the 8? Like, who wants an 8? People are going to be like, I want a new iPhone, but I don't have enough money. That's why you want an 8, is because you already want a new iPhone.
That's true.
You want the 10. It's weird. It's like true. When they came out with the 5C, it's like they stopped making those kinds of phones because it didn't do that great because people are like, well, the people who really can't afford iPhones will get one maybe, or they'll get an Android phone that's better.
Yeah.
And then the people who want an iPhone will just get the actual good iPhone.
It's so funny that we've gotten to a point where technologies, like new technologies coming out so fast, it's like every year, and then we reach a point where it's coming out all at the same time. So it's like, take your pick.
Take your pick. Here's the future and here's the past. But they're coming out at the same time. The present.
How much money do you have? Then we'll just, you know, take whatever and give
you... If you give us $1,000, we'll give you the future. If you give us $900, you get the past. Where's the present? Who knows?
It's horrible. It's horrible because I'm like, oh, I really want the X. And if you get the 8, you're already going to spend, what, like $700, $800? Then why not just pay $200 more? But
that's
then you
the
realize,
point.
Oh, I'm spending $1,000
exactly.
on a little device that I'm probably going to end up replacing in a year.
I know. It's horrible.
So... I just convinced myself I don't want to get a new phone.
That's what I realized about Apple. So, you know, they only sell the past and then the future, but they do it at the same time. And so that just means that the present is just for taking your money.
It's true.
And they want your $1,000, even though you'll spend another $1,000 in the future.
In the future.
It's ridiculous.
They should make a movie. That would be a great movie.
What is it called?
Sci-fi film.
The future?
The past, the Apple, and the future.
Wow.
Boom.
Sounds really lame, actually.
No,
it should be called
like
The Past, Your Money, and The Future.
Okay, then it'll be that.
Yeah. And then
okay,
and then subtitled,
well,
like, iPhone's greatest achievement. And it's just...
iPhone's greatest achievement?
Yeah, and it's just the power to take your money.
Like, I swear, in the next keynote, they're going to be like, we've added this new feature. It's called Take Your Money. What it does is...
What you do...
You give us...
It looks at all of the credit cards that are in your pocket... And it steals all the card numbers.
It takes them.
Which automatically charges you, and then we send you our newest product. You don't even need to think about it.
Exactly.
No, it doesn't give you the base
take
model.
Your money.
It gives you the most heavily upgraded model. There's no way to get 64 gigabytes with this. You need 256. You need it.
I know, right?
And you can't just have a MacBook that doesn't have 18,000 gigs of RAM. You need 36 gigs. You need it.
It's only $3,000.
And it doesn't improve the performance because none of the applications are really meant to utilize that much, but that's okay. That's okay. Because we need...
This just turned into a bashing of Apple.
Okay. Well, I think iPhones are fun. I have one.
Yeah,
I have a 7 Plus.
I like them, but I like making fun of the company.
Yeah, it is fun. All right. So, I guess we should move on to it. I haven't seen it, so you can just talk about it.
Okay, yeah. So, I've seen it, and you have it, and that's fine.
I got the book.
I've already talked
about
it. I got
the book. We'll do a book club episode in 3 years about it.
In 3 years. I know, I need to start reading it. I haven't even finished the last Harry Potter book. Speaking of which, we need to decide the book for the next book club.
We already did.
Wait, what?
Should we talk about it on air?
On air? No, we should save it. We're going to save
it.
Okay,
we already know what it is. Just Daniel doesn't remember. Anyways, move on.
Yeah, okay, so it. I've already reviewed it on YouTube, and guess what? It has like 26 views, so
wow, you're really raking in the dough for us there.
I know. I'm really carrying this brand.
Wow, if we had a dollar for every view we had, we'd still have more than the patron. We still have more than the true. Patrons give us. Yeah, but seriously, really thank true. You to the patrons. Hunt the Gunter Schmunter.
Oh, yes.
Noreen. And he who wishes not to be named or something.
He who shall not be named.
He who shall not be named.
Okay, well, yes, thanks to the Patreons, and thank you to It for being such an awesome movie. So I really liked it. I saw it again, actually. So I saw it, and then I reviewed it, and then I saw it again, and I liked it. But I don't know if you're gonna like it. The second time I saw it, I started questioning whether I thought you'd like it or not.
I don't like horror movies at all. To the point where, like, yeah, I don't want to go see, like, Alien Covenant or something like that, because it's a horror movie, technically.
But Alien Covenant was just kind of, like, grim I haven't even seen it, I'm just assuming. But it's, like, grim characters going and doing something kind of like a depressing adventure, and then they all just get killed.
Yeah.
But like, this has, like, an amazing contrast, okay?
It has ups and downs, or does it just try to scare you the whole time?
No, that would be... I would not like it if it just tried to scare you the whole time. The thing that carried this movie was the other side to it. Like, so it was... Okay, it was so great because you had this... I already talked about this. I feel like I'm just going to repeat what I said on YouTube. But basically, you had this kind of like 80s coming-of-age story with these group of kids. And you're like, oh, this makes me feel so good. And they're so happy and they're so 80s and that's the best. And they're funny and they're kind of like kooky in a way. But they're great and they're just friends. And then all of a sudden something horrible would happen. And then there would be the scariest scenes like that would happen, like sequences of events. And you get so freaked out. And then all of a sudden... Like, you're laughing because I don't know. I ended up laughing a lot at the, like, horror scenes because they were really funny. Like, they weren't meant to be funny, but they were just so, like, over the top that it was funny. But the first time I saw it, of course, I was scared and then I was laughing. The second time I wasn't scared, I was just laughing at the end. But I still enjoyed it either way. Yeah, so I thought that its story was really good because... The reason why I don't like a lot of horror movies is because they usually just try to scare you and they don't end up having a good, like, eerie, creepy story, which is the real thing that ends up scaring a person. And I don't know if I could say that this does have a truly eerie, creepy story. I feel like if you want something more, like, eerie and creepy, you should probably go read the book, which is what hopefully me and you are going to be doing. But with the movie, it's more like... There's a really good set of characters that you really get to understand and grow with, and you see them go through all this, and which makes you really into it and really a part of it. And that's why you end up enjoying the movie so much. And plus, it's set in the 80s, so of course it's going to be great.
Yeah, that improves movies drastically. That's why people like Stranger Things. Then, imagine a modern-day Stranger Things.
Ugh. I know, no one would like it. It'd be horrible. They'd be listening to Justin Bieber or something.
Ew. Oh my gosh, that ruins it already for me. And I've only seen the first two episodes of that.
Really, I binged the whole thing. I think it's a good show, but it's overrated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they should even be making a second season. Of course, I'm going to watch it, and I'm probably going to like it, but I feel like they're just trying to, like, extend it too much. I hope that they have a good story for it. Anyway, sorry. There was actually the same kid actor. The kid who plays Richie is the kid, like, one of the main kids in Stranger Things.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. And actually, so I heard somewhere that the reason why the creators of Stranger Things created Stranger Things was because they couldn't get the gig to, like, make it. So they're like, well, we're gonna make our own version of that, and I guess it worked out. Wow.
Yeah, I guess that did work out for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
have you seen, like, the original?
Yes! The original is so... That's all I can say about it.
It's so.
it's just so, man.
Is that like Tim Curry?
It's... Really?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it does have Tim Curry. He plays the clown, and, well, basically, it's like, I don't even know how someone would get scared of it who like watched it in the 90s. I mean, maybe I'm just numbed by today's standard of everything is really extreme. But it's not necessarily scary. It's just really interesting. And that's the only reason why I watched it and would watch it again and still actually liked it. It's just because it's really interesting. Like, if it wasn't for Stephen King's story, it'd just be a film or a TV special that's like 3 hours long, by the way, that's really boring and has a lot of 90s cringe with bad actors. And I think the TV special does have all of that, but it does have the amazing like story and plot that intrigues you. And I don't know if they did the creators of the TV special did a good job of like portraying that or like telling that story, but either way, it was still intriguing.
Cool.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'd recommend someone to watch it necessarily because it's a long movie. I mean, I watched it once and I was like, okay, I did that. That was cool. But then I watched it again and I was like, okay, I can't do this because someone else wanted to watch it. And so I was like, okay, I'll watch it with you. But no, I couldn't handle it for the second time. Yeah. So Okay. It was the TV special. And so since they're so different, because the TV special sometimes is more accurate to the book in the sense that the book is set in the 50s when they were kids and then the 80s when they're adults. So
oh, really?
That's how it is in the TV special and in the book. But in the new movie, they're 80s kids and then they're present day adults. Because the book, it came out in 1986. So,
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, and comparing the clowns, they're like really two different characters. They're both equally, I think, really good. Of course, Bill Skarsgård, I know how to say his name. I think has a bit more of an advantage because I feel like modern day is, I don't know. And plus, since it's like a movie and that was a TV special, I feel like Bill Skarsgård has more leverage like more opportunity to be a better, I don't know.
It's modern day filmmaking, and then on top of that, it's like actually filmmaking and not TV.
Yeah.
So like,
and
yeah,
I just think Tim Curry is more of like, and his clown was more of an icon, more of like people might like him more or know him because he was there first and he got popular via the internet and everyone who was like a 90s kid, I guess.
So but I love Tim Curry. I think he's great. I think, yeah. I don't know.
What else has he been in?
I feel like he's done a lot of voice acting work for stuff I like. He's been in a few movies. I actually can't. I've just seen him in a lot of stuff, but I can't point to something exactly that I've seen him in. It's weird. Uh-huh. But, like, I recognize him in, like, a lot. I mean, he's in, like, Muppet Treasure Island and Annie.
What?
And, like, Home Alone 2. Anyways, I think he's good. You know, how would you rate all the different categories and stuff like that for it?
Well, oh wait, actually, real quick, there was an episode, Mr. Sunday Movies posted a video, and I really liked what they had to say, because it was literally the title of the video was, like, we talk about it in this video, or something like that. It was like, this video has it in it, or something like that, which was funny. It was a funny title. And basically, they were saying how it was different than other horror films, because the main, like, creature dude, or whatever, the scary thing, was, like, around in the day and in the night, and it wasn't, like, when he at first appeared, it wasn't, like, this mysterious thing. It's not like, oh, is he even there, or, like, is he not? I don't know. The filmmakers were really just blunt about it, and they're like right from the beginning of the movie he was there and something happened, you know, and which was cool and made it different from a lot of other horror films, which are always a little bit more subtle and then increasing in the monster's suspense or whatever, something like that, and then until this big thing happens, and then yeah, anyways, so that was a cool video. For my ratings, I probably give, so the plot and the story is good. I give it like a 17.5 out of 18, and then we never say Lego pigs anymore. 17.5 out of 18 Lego pigs. And then probably for, wait, what's the other one? Characters? Oh, there's some good.
So yeah, it's like characters, plot, and then filmmaking.
Yeah, I think in terms of character development, like literally that's what the whole book was about, was like facing this thing and like learning to face your fears in the long run. What?
I didn't know you read the book.
I didn't read the book. I just know everything about it, so.
Oh, well, you're just a genius, then.
Or I just watch a lot of YouTube videos about books, and I don't actually read them.
You're one of those BookTube fans, huh?
I'm intending on reading the book, believe me. But it just happens when you watch a bunch of It reviews where they talk about the book a little bit. And so there was definitely, I feel like the whole story is based on developing the characters. So okay. I'd give that like a 17.5.
What is with these 0.52?
No, 2, T-O-O, like, as well.
But why are you doing this? Just, ugh.
I mean, like it, hey, that
if
way.
You like rounding up, then it rounds up to 18, just so you know. Everybody...
17.4.
Everybody, you can win. What? Well, that doesn't, like, stay in the middle or anything. That just rounds down.
Ah, so 17. It's a 17, everybody. 17.49?
I really hate you. It still rounds down. It still rounds down.
I know, but if you rounded in other terms, it would be 17.5, and then in the long run be either way I win somehow. So for anything, what was it, like the last one's like special things, I don't know,
filmmaking, like guy? Soundtrack and the shots,
yeah,
crap like that.
Wait, back to characters though, like legit they are so good. I don't know how they found that kid actors, but they're really good. Like the way they are as a group and like the way they talk is so like, it's so funny, and it's so good.
We're living in an age of really good children actors for some reason. I don't know why.
I know! It's weird. We're living in the age of remakes, but we're also living in the age with really good child actors, so that's cool. Yeah, okay, so filmmaking, I'd give it like a 17, maybe, because I don't know. There's nothing I can really think of. It was good filmmaking. Like, they had a lot of good 80s references, and there were a lot of, like, little things that kind of were cool that you could catch, like, that I feel like, it's, you can tell, like, how hard everyone, like, the story people and, like, filmmakers and stuff like that worked on this movie to get, like, little things right, I guess, like, little details and stuff that you can sometimes notice that make your experience a little bit better, that are, like, that kind of go with the characters and their personality. Like, for instance, I'm not gonna, it's not a big spoiler, but, like, the Jewish kid, I forget his name, but it's, I'm not, like, his character is racist. Heavily based on that his character is heavily based on that he's Jewish. So basically, like, everywhere they go, all the kids will, like with are riding their bikes, and when they arrive somewhere, they'll just, like, throw it on the ground and just run, but he'll always be the last, because he'll make sure to, like, put his bike on the stand, and so that it's always standing upright, and it's really funny.
That's pretty great.
I know, and so it's, like, a little detail that you catch whenever they go someplace new, and it's really funny. Yeah, so that's about it. Like, I don't really... that's about it. And it was about it.
It's true.
What? Yeah. That actually is about it, though.
In both ways.
All right, so was that all we had to talk about? Or is there anything else?
If there was something else, I can't remember it.
Cool. So I'm calling it. You're actually going to go see it, though, on Monday, right?
I'll go see it.
Okay.
I'll go
read it. Well, then tell me how, though. I want to know.
I will tell you if it's good.
No, tell me how you're going to see it, though.
I don't want
to
talk about it.
Are you going to be... Okay. All right. That's good.
I'm trying not to think about it, because I don't like horror movies. And so, as much as I sort of don't want to see it, but it's, like, also interesting, but, like, I don't, but I do, but I don't, and I think I'm going to hate it. So, I've just invited somebody to take me, and so now they're going to go. So then I have to go see it.
Ooh.
And so I don't have a choice anymore.
Ooh. Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I'm going to go see it.
And you have to tell me immediately what you think of it, because I'm really curious whether you'll like it or not.
I'll report back in on the next episode of the podcast. Well,
okay.
Yeah, I guess it will be the next one. There's not going to be a book club for another few weeks.
Yeah. There was this one scene in the beginning, though. It was so funny, because it was so cheesy, and it so looked like a horror movie, and it cracked me up. Because the music, so you're probably going to, I'm already trying to think of all the things that you'll hate about it. You'll probably hate the really loud sounds and the music that'll happen
whenever something loud horrible sounds. Happens.
You like loud sounds.
That's why I liked Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I don't know.
I hate jump scares. That's my problem.
It's not really that jump scary. You kind of know.
That's why I'm going to go see it. It's just because it has less jump scares than other movies.
There probably is only one jump scare that actually got me that was pretty good. But anyways, it's not like a whole movie that's trying to get you, which is always the worst type of movie. Anyways.
No, that's probably the end of the episode. I think it was good. We went 50-some minutes.
Yeah, 50-some, because and we don't exactly know. Down.
Yeah, it will be like 40-something by the time I edit.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Hey, I just had an idea. We should make shirts, and literally, they should have the word anyways and a period after it, and that's what the shirt should just say. Anyways.
Yes. Anyways, and then on the back.
It's... Anyways.
Yeah.
Because, you anyways. Know, that's the motto here at the Gosh Daniel podcast.
It sort of is.
Anyways.
Yeah, that should be like our tagline and stuff like that. Gosh Daniel podcast. Anyways.
Well, anyways, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing it on Twitter.
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Because you have
thank
already
you for sending
done that.
Us a tweet on Twitter at Gosh Daniel Pod. That's really nice of you. I'm so glad.
Uh-huh.
We can actually read out. We should start reading out tweets on the show if we get enough.
And, I mean,
yeah.
Well, thanks someday. To Hunt Bunt Gunther Schmunter. I don't know.
For, you can't say it.
I can't. I'm not even gonna try to again. Because he's been really active on our Twitter, and
he really
you're
has.
The bomb. You're the best, okay? You are the ultimate Gosh Daniel podcast listener.
Yeah, so, it's true. He is, and he's even a patron.
So you should be really proud of yourself, man.
Yeah, thanks to all the patrons again.
Just give your give yourself a pat on the Noreen, back.
He who shall not be named. And yeah, good stuff. If you want to contribute, we're at patreon.com/GoshDaniel.
Yes.
As always, we are on
Stitcher.
iTunes.
Oh,
iTunes. Stitcher. YouTube.
YouTube.
And I'm considering putting us on SoundCloud, so we'll see how that goes. It might not happen. But you know, I'll try.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yep. All right, so that's the end.
Yay, all right.
So it's time for you all to go away.
Go away.
And for me to stay here for a few more hours to edit.
Oh, so fun. It's really late here now, actually.
It's
I better
so
go.
Late now.
Okay. Have fun.
Yeah, all right. You should fly home now.
I'll fly home now, bud. I'll okay. actually float home, because
ugh.
Float.
You'll float too. You'll float too.
That's disgusting sounding.
I'm sure you'll love it.
It, just, and I it say reminds that me of that Modest Mouse song, though. Float on.
Oh.
That used to be. I think that was a popular song for a while.
Whoa.
That's probably the least Modest Mouse song that I've ever heard.
Okay.
You should look it up. It's great. We'll all float on. All right.
Cool.
So, yeah. See you later.
See ya. Bye, buddy.
Bye.
And hiya, Georgie.
Ugh.
That's my Tim Curry impression.
That sounds really awful.
You should YouTube that one scene from the 90s.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Hiya, Georgie.
All right. Well, I'm going to go. So,
see ya. Bye. Well, bye.
You're fine, too. You're fine.